Morning.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's a second beatitude. The first one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We started last week by talking about our attitude to this new decade. It's not just a year, it's a decade, and I think 2020 has something very spiritual and special to say to us, to minister to us. And our attitude to that is very important, because our attitude will determine our outlook to life, our outlook to the year. Our attitude will determine the outcome of the year and will determine a whole lot of things. And we said last week, our attitude, if it's bad, can actually drain us of the energy God gives to us to do good. Have you ever noticed that if you want something done, you give it to a busy person? And it's not like they have more hours than the rest of us. Their attitude to work is just different from many people. And the reason they are able to achieve much, it's not because they've got more hours or more strength or they are cleverer. The reason they achieve more is because of their attitude to life. The man who says, I can't, is correct. The man who says, I can, is also correct. They can look at exactly the same thing. One can respond one way, the other can respond the other way. And whatever they say is correct. So if you say, I can't, guess what? You never will be able to do it. But if you say, I can, it'll always be able to be done. And it's determined not by our gifting. It's determined by our attitude. When Jesus gave out the talents, one guy went and invested 5 talents. Now, let's say that's 5 hours. He worked 5 hours and then he worked 10 hours. And the other one had 2 and he did that. And then the other one had 1 and he couldn't even work that 1 hour. It's the attitude that determines what happens in our lives. And I don't think the Lord of heaven and earth made a mistake that when he went up on the top of the mountain and his disciples came, that he began by teaching and ministering on attitudes. The whole Sermon on the Mountain is a sermon about life. But the key to life is the 9 Beatitudes. And there are 9 Beatitudes. And 9 is a number for divine completion. Something is sealed, it's done. But it also speaks of something new is coming. So 10... You got 9, then 10, 19, then 20. 9 is sealed, it's complete, but it also means it's done. When Jesus said, it is finished, that was the 9th hour. 9 means something new is coming. Death is going to be conquered now. But on the 9th hour, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Cornelius was praying and the angel turned up on the 9th hour. And he said, your prayers are heard. They have become a memorial in heaven. And I am sent because your prayers have decorated heaven. And even though you don't know the Lord... Now, I'm adding now to the angel's words, because Cornelius was not saved. But the angel came at the 9th hour, which means something is now sealed and complete. Something new is going to come. There's going to be the entrance now of the Gentiles into the church. The first Gentile that entered the church was Cornelius. And yet, he should be the last one to get in because he was a Roman citizen. He was a ruler. And Rome did not worship the God of the Jews. The Romans were the masters. The Jews were the servants. And here is a master that is rich and well off and ruling and praying. No wonder the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of it. The man recognized that even though he's well off, even though he's rich, as far as spirit is concerned, he's a poor beggar. And because of that attitude, heaven itself turned up, and it turned up on the ninth hour. Something new is going to come. The Gentiles are going to enter the church, and now God is trying to convince one of those apostles to go and speak to this Gentile. And that apostle said, I can't. The guy's unclean. And God said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. Are you okay? So there are nine gifts of the Spirit. There are nine fruits of the Spirit. There are nine beatitudes. It's a number of divine completion, which means something new is coming, and our attitude to that new thing is very, very in the denominationally, scientifically, racially, whateverly is important. It's very important. And 2020, even the people that don't know God, they talk about 2020 vision, they 2020 this, 2020 that. Why? Because it's 20 times 2. It's a double portion. Are you okay? Now let me say something peculiar to us. Andrew and Wendy left 2019. It's a completion of something. It's a new thing for them, but it's also a new thing for them. And your attitude to that will determine the outlook, how you see the church, your outlook, and how the outcome of what you want to get from God. Are you okay? And you find that. You find that in the new. You find that in the old. The Holy Spirit was poured out at the ninth. These are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Spirit was poured out at 9 o'clock in the morning. Not the ninth hour, at 9 o'clock in the morning. Nine. Something new is coming. People are beginning to talk about a language that they've never known before. It's a new tongue. Something new is happening. And when you go to the Old Testament, you find the same. You got Adam, then Seth, then Enosh, then Canaan, then Jared, then Mahalalel, and then you got Jared, and then you have Enoch, and then you have Methuselah, and then you have a Lamech, and from Adam to Lamech is 9. Noah is the 10th, as in the days of Noah. And something new is now being brought into the world through that 10th man, because the number 9, the completion is done from Adam to Lamech. It's 9 generations, and every generation from Adam to Lamech, only one son is mentioned. So you got Adam gave birth to Seth. We discount the first two boys. That's where the genealogy began. When he came to Lamech, he says Lamech gave birth to Noah, which is the 10th one from Adam. 9 is now done. But Noah is different. Noah's son is not mentioned as a one person. There are 3 boys. He's building the first ark. It's going to be the first rain. It's going to be the first rainbow. It's going to build the new world. Are you all right? So 10th is not just a test, as we mentioned last week. It's the beginning of something completely new in God. And our action. Now, when Noah built the ark, they said, you're stupid. What's wrong with you, you silly Maori? They get angry. Their attitude to the building of the ark. He said, are you all right in the head? Whereabouts in Samoa? What is that? What are you doing? I'm building a boat. What's a boat? The thing that floats. Float on what? Float on water. How are you going to get the water from the sea to your boat? How are you going to get this boat out there? He said, it's not going anywhere. The water is coming to find the boat. Something completely new. And yet Noah heard from God, and his attitude was very different from everybody else. His father Lamech was alive for 777 years. You can do a study on Numbers. And his grandfather Methuselah was 969. He was a man filled with the Spirit, 9 fruits, 9 gifts. In the middle is number 6, which is the number of man. So here is a man full of the Holy Ghost, and the meaning of his name is when he dies, the flood will come. Nobody believed because God has never flooded the earth before. God is going to do something completely different and completely new. So Methuselah's son, 777 years, died 5 years before Methuselah. So they probably helped Noah build the ark. Methuselah and Lamech and... Are you okay? But when Noah returned from Adam Oho, having buried Methuselah, he went straight into the ark. Why? Because the 9th is completed. God is going to do something completely new. Now, your attitude to that is important because God may do something new and you never, ever see it. And you can get angry. It's the same old, same old, same old. But you never see it. Now let me stop there and detour. Can I detour? You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 5 where God is saying, who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And then he says, go and speak. The people will hear but not hear. They will see but not see. Their hearts will never turn. Because if they hear and they see, their hearts will turn. Then they'll be healed. And some people, God can do something so totally new. And they said, what do you think you're doing? They've heard and not heard. They've seen and not seen. Therefore, their hearts don't understand. And therefore, they never turn. And when they don't turn, hello? Have you ever been to a church where they want to do the same old, same old, same old, same old? And the young people are lost, going to hell on roller skates, and they are singing, and, oh, it's great. Are you all right? Hey, are you all right? So sometimes the reason some people are never helped is because they never hear and they never see. And therefore they never understand and therefore they never turn. It's not like you did not preach. It's not like you did not say something. It's not like you didn't try and open their eyes. That's why Paul, when he wrote to a church that was so powerful yet so weak, the church was powerful yet weak. And Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you might know what the hope of his calling and the exceeding greatness of this inheritance that you have in God in the midst of the saints. And in the same church, he said, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is working within you, that you might comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. He's talking about the boat. He's talking about the ark, that you might be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses your knowing. How can you know something you don't know? It's your attitude. Are you okay? So sometimes people, they say, you know, God loves people more than anything. But you pray for some people and you wonder, what's going on? It's that their ears, you can preach until the cows come home, if the cows do come home. Do the cows come home? Where did you get that expression from? The cows come home. I haven't got a cow. So nobody's coming home, just my grandchildren. But they're not cows. I love them. Are you all right? Mrs. Alexander and Mrs. Berryman, can you separate with another seat? Hallelujah. Are you okay? So your attitude is very, very important. Have a look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we talked about before, is the chapter on parables. And if you want to understand parables, you read Matthew 13 and then let the Bible interpret itself. And this is what we said. I'm going to remind you about what we said. All right. The parables are not taught outside of the house. They are mentioned outside of the house, but to explain them, they had to explain in the house. If you're not in the house and you're not part of the house, you might never understand a parable. So if you look at verse 1, we'll use verse 1. I'm still detouring, all right? I'll get back to the message. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. What is he doing? He went out of the house. And when he went out of the house, he speaks to people in parables, not so that people can't understand. Parables are very simple stories. But if you want to understand, guess what? You will understand. But if you don't, you never will. That's why Paul said, or part of the reason why Paul said, not so many great are called, because when you're great in your own eyes, you're not poor in spirit. You think you're pretty hot shot. That's the difference between the ruler like Cornelius and the rich young ruler. But Jesus went out of the house and then he taught parables, but he came back into the house to explain the parables. Are you okay? So if you ever look at verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not being given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, And he who will have abundance, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And you can see, and you can hear, and not understand, if the attitude is not good. Are you okay? And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and when they turn, I'll heal them. That's why sometimes, you know, my wife said, sometimes you say things that are aggressive. I said, well, if you preach where I preach, you'll be aggressive too. You go and speak in prison. You don't talk about stuff that they don't understand. I had a friend that went to Kaitoki and told a joke and nobody laughed. I said, what did you do? I said, I told him a joke. And everywhere I tell this joke, everybody laughed. I said, that's a prison. Nobody will laugh. I have to talk to them about a language they understand. So sometimes it's almost like you need to smack somebody in the head so the ears can pop. Now, you may not like that, but sometimes that you don't answer a fool according to his folly. That's why sometimes you try to explain to some people. They know, you can talk until the ears are closed, the eyes are blind. Are you all right? But when the attitude changes, you've got a centurion who rules. And when people come to beg, he gives to them. And when he prays to the God of the beggar, he begs the God of the beggar the same way the beggar begs of him. Same attitude. And God sent an angel and said, heaven's impressed. Are you all right? So our attitude to this year, our attitude to anything, but especially this 2020, is very vital. Because you can actually hear and not hear. You can actually see and see nothing. And you never understand, therefore you never turn, and you will never see the goodness of God. Are you all right? Now, this is a true story, but I don't suggest that you do it. Two young guys, they came to church on Sunday, and they came to their pastor. I know their pastor. And they made a confession. Said, Pastor, we were terrible. Not a good witness for the Lord. We came back from the conference you sent us to. This guy was giving us a hard time. We cornered his car and into the side of the road and beat him up. And his father said, are you all right? So what happened to the guy? We told him he needs Jesus. You what? And then they went out and, you know, the service, and then they came and said, Pastor, you know the guy that we beat up? He's sitting at the back of the church. And it's almost like something drastic has to happen to an individual before their ears are popped open and their eyes are open and then they understand. But Jesus talks in parables, not because he doesn't want anybody to be saved, but because even in the simplest way you teach, if somebody does not want to hear, they won't hear. And they won't see. They'll still be blind. They'll still be deaf. And their heart will still be dull. And they will never turn. But Jesus said this, if they hear and they see and they turn, I will heal them. Are you all right? So 969, when he died, the flood came, but Noah is the 10th from Adam, and something new is going to come. Something new is going to happen. Now, when you look at Abraham, Abraham is a direct descendant of Noah's son Shem. From Shem to Terah, the father of Abraham, are 9 generations. It's a divine completion. The tenth person from Shem is Abraham, and God's going to do something new. Men are going to live by faith. And while God spoke to Abraham many, many times, he did. Something happened when Abraham was 99. God turned up and said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. 99, when he was 100, Isaac was born. Are you okay? So we are talking about this year and how you emote. How you think, your attitude to 2020 will determine the outlook that you have onto this year, will determine the outcome of the year for you and what God is going to do, not just in this year, but in this decade. It's the beginning of the year and the beginning of a decade, and how you emote to that is very important. Now, Zechariah, his attitude to the word of God was, how can this be, seeing I'm old and my wife's old? So Gabriel said, I'm going to make you dumb for the next 9 months. After the 9th month, a child is born. But he said, the next 9 months, you're going to be muted because the way you talk, nothing will ever happen around here. So compare that attitude to the attitude of the virgin who said, whatever you say, let it be according to what you said. There were 2 pregnancies. There was a dumbness in the other pregnancy, and there was a in the other one, okay? Say amen. So how we view this year, how we see it, is very, very important. And I'm just talking a little bit and also prelude our leadership retreat. If you've never been to a Moriah, this is a great chance to be to a Moriah. If you've never slept at a Moriah and hear people snoring, don't try. I mean, are you all right? When you go to a Moriah, everybody understands Maori. You just have to sleep there. Because you realize that You snore, and they snore too. Just tell Mrs. Alexander and Mrs. Berryman to keep quiet. Otherwise, they'll talk your ears off all night. Somebody said, how do you get away saying the things you say? I tell them, it's called grace. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Say amen. And we said last week, so many people get hurt. And I get really concerned with people. I got hurt in church. Everywhere you find people, whether it's in a church or somewhere else, and the good news about you being hurt, as long as you have breath, you have opportunities to be hurt. And as long as you get hurt, and your attitude to the hurt is good, then you're going to understand what the Lord said to Isaiah. I'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for your mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those who mourn, where? In Zion. I have authority to appoint unto you in Zion. That's a song. You understand? Oil of joy that will set you free. Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. Am I the only one who knows that song? Oh, how come you didn't sing with me? Hallelujah. Let's sing that to the Lord. Right. Put on the garments for the spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. And understanding, defy the law. See, it's lovely, eh? Yesterday, and then I'll close. I'll never get through this message. Yesterday, in the afternoon, a young lady rang me from Australia. And she said, I'm just ringing you because I want my dad to talk to you. And I'm ringing you, and then I'll give him the phone, and then you can talk to him. He wants to talk to somebody, and he needs to talk to somebody, but he wouldn't do. So she rang me. And I picked up the phone, and I said, yes. And he said, I'm just giving the phone to dad. So her father is a pastor of a church, a Pentecostal church. And this is what he said. Tomorrow in the service, I'm standing down my whole music team, including my youth pastor. I said, why? They've been partying all over the place. And it's not just, they've been partying and getting themselves really paralytic. And so I'm going to stand them down, and I'm grappling with my decision. What do you think? I said, stand them down. And then I preached to them what I just preached to you. So he got someone of the best message. He probably preached it himself now. I said, it's a new year. God is doing something completely new. And if you're going to ever do it, this is the time to do it. You need to be more afraid of God than the people in the church. And you must never underestimate the sin that sits in your pews. So if you're going to do something, this is the right time to do it. Because God will honor a righteous decision. It's not the end of the world. But if people leave because of your decision, maybe they never were meant to be there. But I want you to know something. God will bring in people. But if they don't leave, then God will bring in restoration. But your attitude to this year and the boldness to do something different is very important. Are you okay? Then I had a conversation with somebody that just left. They came and apologized that they left the way they did. I said, why did you leave? Oh, the attitude of the people to me, you know, there was so much persecution in the church. I said, persecuted from where? Said, from the key leaders of the church, some of the key people in the church. And I was afraid to come into the church because every time I enter, I get persecuted. I said, so you were persecuted in the church. So I said, let me tell you some key people. So I mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4. All these are key. Did you get? I said, no, not that one, not that. I said, so you probably got somebody negative to you, maybe one or two, but now the whole church is persecuting you. If you leave with that attitude, you will never know the blessing of God. Because I've just mentioned so many people to you now, and you said, no, it's not them, no, it's not them. So who are the key people that persecuted you? Your perception. Your perception can blind your eyes, dull your ears, close your ears, dull your heart. And then you perceive. And I said, whatever you perceive becomes your reality. Don't ever leave here with that. Are you okay? So I blessed the person and I said, God do you good, but don't leave with that attitude, because the way you leave is the way you enter. And if you leave the last with the wrong attitude, you'll enter the new with the wrong attitude. And then your ears will never be open. Your eyes will never be open. Your heart will never be good. And you will never turn. And you'll never get healed. And then you'll perpetrate your hurt from everywhere you go for years and years and years, until these ears are popped open, these eyes are open, the heart is all right, and in turn, God will minister to you. Maybe you're here this morning, and your ears have been closed. Not only that, your eyes have been blinded. Your heart has been dull. But maybe this morning you're here and God is speaking to you. Your attitude to this new year, this 2020. If you know the Lord, your attitude even today needs to be adjusted. But if you don't know the Lord, your eyes are still closed, your ears are still closed, your heart is still dark. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to give your life to Him who alone saves. Just as you are, without one plea. But that my God will gave His blood for me, and that He bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Close your eyes. Father, I pray that you'll touch every heart. You'll minister to every life. At the close of one year, the beginning of another, Lord, I pray that hearts will be turned towards heaven. Eyes will be uplifted. Ears will be unstopped. And Lord, you will hear from heaven. You will answer our cry. You will heal our hearts, forgive our sins, and heal our hearts. So, Father, I pray this morning, every heart will be touched. If you're here, you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, you want to give your life to the Lord this morning, can you lift your hand? Anybody? Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, there are things in your own heart that you need to process. Maybe from last year or the year before, but you're facing a new year. You need to unload whatever it, but you need to face this year with an attitude that is correct. And I want you to lift your hands because I want to include you in the prayer. Father, I pray for every hand that is uplifted and my hand is lifted with them. And I pray, dear God, that this year will be a great year, because we emote towards you. Our attitude to this year and to you is corrected by the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of your word. That ears will be unstopped in the name of Jesus. Eyes will be opened in the name of Jesus. Hearts will be right in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, bless the saints. We give you honor and glory and praise. You're a good God. In Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. God bless you. Have a good cup of tea.